1 Samuel chapter 2, if you will, this morning. 1 Samuel in chapter 2. We're going to continue our walk through 1 Samuel. Last week we got through all of chapter 1. This week we're going to just go through the first part of chapter 2. Really, you see contrast here. You see a different contrast throughout the chapter. We'll focus on one group today and the other group next week. And once you have found 1 Samuel chapter 2 and you're physically able to, if you could stand to your feet one last time to stretch and also the honor of reading of God's Word. Once you found it there, just follow along, and you can do it on the screens or in your handout or in the Bible, of course, in front of you. And Hannah prayed, verse number 1, and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry cease. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor, maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them, and the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." And let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for loving us. You certainly are a great God, and we come to you knowing that we are nothing and you are everything. And we sure are thankful that for the church that you established years ago, and we're thankful for your word, and thank you for Christians and those, Lord, visitors you brought with us today, and or those that we can seek to minister today. We've sought to glorify you, and I know much has been said today about upcoming events and how we can be a part. Lord, now we get into your word, and we want to get to know you more. We want to learn of you. We want to be able to serve you better and be who we need to be for you. I pray that you'll be with those who are ministering in the nursery and the teens and the children right now and those who are online tuning in. Lord, may they know they're loved and appreciated. Thank you for all those who are here already for the 8:30 service. And Lord, of course, tonight as we get ready for the 5 o'clock service later on. And thank you for all you're doing here. I pray you'll minister to us and do a work that only you can. We sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's an old story about a farm boy who got a white football for Christmas. He loved football. He was playing with it one day, and he kicked it over the fence, and it landed in the neighbor's yard, in the barnyard there. And he meant to go get it, but was called in to eat dinner and thought I'd get it later. And of course, he went inside. And about that minute, the rooster came out of the chicken coop and walked over to that oblong oval there on the ground, and he thought it looked like a big old egg. And he looked over at the hens and said, "I don't know what's going on over there, and I don't want you to think I'm complaining, but I really want you to see what they're doing next door." And of course, we see someone who sacrificed a lot last week with Hannah. She sacrificed her son and gave him back to the Lord. If you remember, all the things that she went through in life, of course, were difficult, struggling with Peninnah, her sister, mocking her, ridiculing her. Elkanah, who was insensitive and did not know how to lovingly respond to her need. And then Eli, of course, basically misunderstanding her and accusing her of something she did not do. And God used all that to get her to a point where she finally submitted to God and said, "God, I will do whatever you want. If you'll just give me a child, I'll give him back to you." And lo and behold, that child would be the birth or the new beginning of this nation that was desperately in need of a strong leader who would lead them for the cause of Christ. And of course, Hannah lovingly gave him back. And really, we see two different contrasts in this story. The first of we'll see is the benefit of serving and even sacrificing the Lord, as we'll see this morning with Hannah. And next week, we'll look at the damage and destruction of serving self. And reminds me of the story years ago of an ancient time, a king placed a boulder in the middle of the road leading up to the gate that would go into, of course, the city and eventually the castle. And then after he put that boulder there, he hid in the bushes not too far away. And he started observing some of the people there that he was leading. And some of them were wealthy constituents and businessmen and couriers that would come through. And they would be aggravated by the boulder. They thought, you know, whoever is in charge of the road is not taking care of it. And that falls essentially on the leadership of the king. And what is he doing? And they were complaining and very aggravated at the king. And the king would watch all this take place. And finally, one day, a peasant came by, and instead of walking around it and walking over it, he decided to move this big boulder. So he put his burden on the ground. He put his wagon on the ground that he was pulling, and he walked up to the rock and he started pushing. He started pulling. He started putting his shoulder into it and huffing and puffing. And finally, he got that rock moved to the side of the road. And he went over and he picked up his burden again. And he started walking away. And he noticed a little purse laying down underneath that was underneath the rock. So he went over there and he picked up the purse. And there was a note attached that said, whoever finds this purse, whoever moves this rock, can keep the contents of this purse. And inside the purse were quite a few gold coins. And what this peasant learned is what many of us never understand as Christians. That every obstacle is really an opportunity in disguise. And maybe you, like Hannah this morning, are faced with a boulder or a battle or a burden in your Christian walk. And maybe you're struggling with it and seeing what is the purpose of it and why has God put that there. And maybe it brings us to complain at times or to gripe a little bit or get frustrated. May I say today, through that boulder and through that burden, oftentimes you'll see a benefit of your serving and of your sacrifice to the Lord. And this morning I want us to see three ways that Hannah's life became better for what she was willing to do with her son Samuel. The first of those ways, number one, is the fountain of her praise. The fountain of her praise. If you're writing, verse 1 says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, and my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." Think with me, if you will. Hannah has brought Samuel back, the age of weaning. We don't know how old he was, but he was old enough probably to care a little bit for himself with some guidance, of course. From an adult, he comes and she drops him off. Perhaps his little curls was there and his hair, and he's got his little outfit on. And he just looks so cute and so adorable. He's excited about starting, of course, his journey in the temple and ministry. And perhaps maybe he has his little backpack on and he has the new fancy ones now. The things buckled together, you know. And here he is with his little lunch pail maybe. And he's ready there and he's holding his mom's hands. And he says, "All right, Mom, it's time for me to go. I'm ready." I'll never forget the first time we took our son Brian to kindergarten. We had to take him out of the car and through the gate and into the room and had to make sure his stuff was all set up and make sure everything was ready to go. And then, of course, we had to shed a tear as we said goodbye and gave him over to the teacher. And, of course, he's ready to go. And away he went. And it wasn't but maybe a few weeks later, we would take him to the gate and he said, "Oh, no, I can go from here, Mom, Dad." And I'll never forget the day when I pulled up with my truck and my little son gets out. He goes, "Dad, no need to get out. I got it from here." And that sinking pit in my stomach. "Excuse me? I held you in my hand when you were born, son. I helped burp you and I cleaned up after you. And those many nights, a few times, I got up with you as Alicia did the rest. Okay, but I've been here all the time and now you don't even need me." And perhaps maybe Hannah started having those feelings as Samuel goes and walks up with Eli. And as she turns around and walks away, and maybe she heard in a shaky voice, "Hi, Mom! I love you." And she walks out of that temple or that synagogue thinking, "Oh, man, there he is. He's ready.
He's serving God now. Whew, man, got that hole in my heart, and what am I going to do? What does she do? Does she go gripe, and does she complain, and does she get depressed and say, woe is me? No. The Bible says in verse number 1 that she prayed. And she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged because I rejoice in thy salvation. Marquis de Lafayette was a French officer who provided invaluable assistance to George Washington during the war there, and a Revolutionary War. And in fact, because of his help, it was a huge help to America. And he finally went back home to France, and he started going back to his estate, and he was a farmer. So he started working the fields once again, and the year came where there was a horrible drought, and a lot of the peasants, a lot of the farmers in the area were not going to be able to get much of a crop, and were going to go hungry. And for whatever reason, Marquis Lafayette's field did really well and got just the perfect rains they needed. And for whatever reason, it just worked out to where his crops did well. And as he got close to harvest time, his hired hand came to him and said, Master, Mr. Lafayette, how about you sell now and you're going to make a great profit? He thought he was giving good advice to his boss, and his boss turned around and looked at the man and says, no, this is the time to give. And much like Lafayette, Hannah understood it was the time to give. Israel was in dire straits. We learned last week everyone was doing that which was right in his own eyes. We learned last week there was no open vision in the land. We learned last week that there was wickedness and they needed desperately a leader. Perhaps Hannah had watched as Hophni and Phinehas, as we'll get in next week, had kind of not been doing their job as the priest there. And she knew that this country desperately needed a strong leader. And so she's not sad. She's not discouraged. She's willing to give. She's singing. Not because he can keep her son, but she's singing because she could give her son to the service of the Lord. And she says a very interesting phrase in verse 1. She says, my horn is exalted. Now, why would she say that? Well, horns back in those days, and even today, of animals have always functioned as both offensive and defensive weapons for them. I have cattle, and I make sure I have to remove their horns early on. If I don't, they can tear up the fences, they can tear up other animals, and they can tear up me, you know. And so we have to address that. But in those days, it was very common that a king would put horns on his helmet, or maybe the Vikings, as we know, have the horn symbol. And they had that was a sign of power, that was a sign, sign of influence, of leadership. And much like today, we see the horn is similar to that. And Wiersbe says that I rejoice in my salvation, my horn, is that this is a miracle of the new victory for Israel, who had been invaded, defeated, and abused by their enemies. And God, you are my horn. You are my defense. You are my offense. You are my power. You're everything I need in this world. And may I say today, we can oftentimes rely on our own prowess or our own abilities, but may we lean wholly on God, and may we, like Hannah, say, Lord, my horn is exalted because of you. Hannah got to understand and experience three things from God. First of all, the confidence she had in God. Verse number 2, there is none holy as the Lord. She talks about God's supreme attribute of holiness. He's set apart. May that be our praise today, our glory to a holy God, not on the greatness of our needs. Then she says, neither is there any rock like our God. She talks about a rock like a horn that was a shelter, a protection, a cliff, if you will. It was strong, it was stable, it was steadfast. And she knew, not just was he the horn of her salvation, but what he was, her rock. He was her protection. He was her stability. He could be depended on. And my dear friend, do you depend upon God? Is he enough for you? Erwin Lutzer says, until we have learned to be satisfied with fellowship with God, until he is our rock and our fortress, We'll be restless with our place in the world. If you're restless right now, may I encourage you to run to the rock. And may He be enough for you. Verse number 3, talk no more exceedingly proudly, she says. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. The Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. This is God's humbling of the very proud. Of course, Hannah would see this in Peniah, see this in Eli's sons, would see this eventually in the Philistines, and Goliath, and even in the first king, Saul, down the road, that God will humble the proud and bring grace to the lowly. We see she notices the confidence in God, but she also recognizes the competence of God. Verse number 4 and through 9, we've already read these already, but if you read these verses, you see a contrast. How He brings up, how He puts down, and there's all these different things that God does, and it simply shows that God is sovereign over the affairs of all His people. And may I say today, we can be thankful for this truth. He giveth more grace, James says. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And I'm thankful today for a God who recognizes His children. And when we humbly come to Him, He will lift us up. We see the competence of God. We see she notices the confidence in God, but she also points out that she has experienced the chastisement of God, not necessarily on her, but on the adversaries of the Lord. In verse 10, shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. She's kind of giving a little bit of a prophetic statement here in her prayer, but she's simply saying that God is the supreme judge. He is the almighty God. He will break into pieces the very wicked, as we see later, as John writes in Revelation 19:15, and out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress to the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Just like Hannah recognized that soon there would come a time where God's people would be dealt with, and wickedness would be dealt with, and judgment would come, we also can rest assured that God is sovereign above all, and God understands what's going on. And when personal events and when things around us in our world today that frustrate us and we struggle with and it aggravates us, may we realize that God is in control. He has it all under control. We can get frustrated. We can get aggravated. By the way, that should cause us to pray and do something about it. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ like we're doing next week with Youth Explosion. It should cause us to want to make a difference. We also can rest that God's in control. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son, trusting God to fulfill His promise. Of course, God came through and he didn't have to sacrifice his son. He provided a ram in the thicket. I think of Moses. His parents hid him in a basket on the Nile, but yet God protected him and then later became the leader that would lead His people back to the promised land. With the same faith in God's sovereignty, Hannah's willing to give God her son that she prayed for years in advance. But she recognized that all creation belongs to God. And each time when we would give our places to God, as we see here, God rewarded their sacrifice greatly. May we be willing to give God our life. May we be willing to put Him as a hub in our wheel, not try to fit Him in. May He become everything to us. And so we see, first of all, the fountain of her praise. She praised God for His confidence, His competence, and even His chastisement to those who need it. But second of all, this morning, I want us to see the findings of her pledge. And I want to explain a little bit about what she found when she obeyed God. When she obeyed God, when she served, when she sacrificed, God noticed and God rewarded her greatly. The Bible says in verse 19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. If you're troubled with the thought of Hannah dropping off her son and never seeing him again, that did not happen. She got to see him and visit with him often. The Bible says she would bring clothing and she would prepare him for his future priesthood or judging he would do. This little garment was kind of like a slit in the size, and it was a piece of material that would go over him, and he put his arm through, and it was a symbol there of what the priest would wear. And Samuel was out of Hannah's home, but he was never out of Hannah's heart. And I will just say this. I'm thankful for parents today that I have. Last night I got to talk to him for a little bit. 2,500 miles away from here. Who got to fellowship a little bit together. And though I'm out of their home, I'm never out of their heart. May our kids never leave our heart. May we always, like Hannah, spend time praying for them and visiting with them and loving on them and letting them know how much we care. We see it not only through her visits, but we see the other ability she got when she obeyed God was through her value. The Bible says in verse 20, "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee the seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord.' And they went into her home. And every year when they'd come, Eli would bless her for her obedience and her sacrifice to the Lord. And then we see through her valuables in verse 21. What happens when she gives up her child? The Bible says she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. God opened her womb. The Bible says visited. That is the same word that God used of Sarah. And now we see that God miraculously rewards her, as Psalms 127 verse 3 says, "Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." He rewards her, not with just one child, but 5 more children. It shows us that God is willing and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In Ephesians 3:20, according to the power that worketh in us. I love what David Guzik says about this. He says, "God will never be a debtor to anyone. Hannah could never say to the Lord, 'I gave you my son, but what did you give me?' Because God gave much more in return." A young boy one day went to a local store with his mom, and as they did back in those days, the proprietor looked at him and says, "Hey, you want a handful of lollipops, of suckers?" And the little boy just kind of shyly held back. And it was uncustom of him. Usually he was very outspoken and very in tune with everything. And so the proprietor looked at him and was a little bit disappointed that the boy didn't. And he thought, "Well, I'll just help him out." And he reached in there and grabbed a handful and gave it to the little boy. The little boy had a little smile on his face, and he walked out with his mom. And on the way down the sidewalk, his mom says, "Son, why were you so shy there? Why didn't you never act that way? What was wrong? Were you scared of him?" He says, "No, Mom." He says, "He just has a bigger hand than mine, so I wanted him to get it out." And isn't that the way God is? God tends to do more than what we could ever ask or think. And He's willing to do more for us than we ever can imagine. So we see this morning that the child Samuel grew before the Lord, the Bible says. He is now being a blessing. And we see that this is compared to John the Baptist and Jesus, how he grew not just physically, but he grew spiritually. And Ryrie gives a great conclusion to this section of verses. He says this, "Hannah provides an excellent example to us for fervent prayer, for obedience, for worship, and for devotion to family. All of these resulted in God's blessing." Mendelssohn was a great, accomplished musician. In fact, one of the most famous of his time. And one day he visited a cathedral at Freiburg, and he had heard there was a great organ there, so he thought it would be fun to go and play it. And when he got there, there was a keeper of the area. He was an old organist, and he was very jealous of his instrument, and he wasn't very good at sharing, and he refused at first. And the great German composer asked once again, and finally he allowed him to play, and he thundered on this organ of the cathedral, and it was a very delightful and amazing song. And finally the man, the old crusty organist, put his hands on the shoulders of this great musician and exclaimed, "Who are you? What is your name?" The man calmly replied, "Just Mendelssohn." "And can it be," the old crusty organist said, "that I had so nearly refused to let the great Mendelssohn touch this organ?" And may I say today, if we often refuse to let God have His way in our life, do we not? Because we are afraid of the outcome. Little do we know that if we would just let God do as He sees fit, the outcome would be much greater than anything we could ever dream of. And so this morning we see Hannah experience the praise, if you will, the
the prophet, let's see here, what am I, oh, you have it up there, the findings of the fruit, whatever. Oh, number one, thank you, Brother Colby, I'm sorry, you're doing a great job. The fountain of her praise, there we go. Second of all, the finding of her pledge, Hannah found. And then third of all, this is when I want us to see the fruit of her parenting. So one last thing that Hannah got to experience this morning by serving the Lord, we see the fruit of her parenting. Samuel continued to live right. May I say, one of the greatest joys, I'm sure, as a parent, though I just have four children and the oldest is 10 and they're great kids. Obviously, they're not perfect, but you know they do try to serve the Lord as they can. And it brings great joy as a parent. I can't imagine seeing Hannah from afar, watching him continue to do this, even though she wasn't there. And we see three areas this morning. The fruit of her parenting, first of all, through Samuel and his serving. The Bible says that Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. This simply means serving the Lord for Eli as a priest. He understood Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 5, and somewhere along the line, Hannah must have shared this with them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And may that be our prayer. By the way, Peter talks about this in the New Testament. He even goes as far to say, we were saved to serve. And he compares us, as Samuel was, to a priesthood. We also have the opportunity to be a royal priesthood. The Bible says you are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of a darkness into this marvelous light. We also, like Samuel, get the opportunity, the privilege to serve the Lord. We are part of His priesthood. We see not only the service of Samuel, but we also see through his spirit, verse 26, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Reminds me of Jesus Christ, what was said of Him in Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I think of Daniel as a young boy. He was not willing to sacrifice his love for the Lord. And he wasn't willing to be altered and changed. And he took a stand. Of course, his three friends even took a stand with the fiery furnace. And I think of Nehemiah. He was willing. His spirit was to do what God would have him to do. I think of David, of course, a man after God's own heart, a young shepherd boy who was willing to go before Goliath with a sling in his hand. I think of Joseph, who was just a young boy, was sold into slavery, yet he wasn't willing to trade in his love for the Lord for another woman. And he ran away, ended up getting put in prison. But God raised him up miraculously, and he became second in command of all of Egypt and was able to save all of his family, and even all of Israel. May I say today, you and I also should have that good spirit about us, and we're commanded to have the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. May you and I be a young man or a young lady or an older man or an older lady who has the right spirit. And the only reason why we'll have the right spirit is when we're allowing the fruits of the Spirit to come out of us. We see not only through His serving and through His spirit, but last of all, through His surety. The Bible says in verse 35, and I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is mine heart and my mind. And in my mind, and I will build him a sure house. And he shall walk before my anointed forever. We see the surety of Samuel was shown in three ways. By his loyalty to God. The Bible says, I will raise me up a faithful priest. Could you imagine Hannah as she watched the fruit of her parenting, those early years, investing and loving on her son and training him and teaching him the way he should go as he was loyal to his God. I think of his love for God. Verse 35, the latter part. I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. This was very clear that Samuel didn't just do it out of loyalty to God. He did it out of his love for God. Now you may be saying, why should we do something out of love for God? What has He done for us? Maybe you're sitting there today saying, what has God ever done for me? Why isn't God doing something more for me? I'm here at church. What has He
He doing for me? Well, first of all, may I understand that before you even knew God existed, before you were even born, He did something for you years ago that would change your life forever. He was willing to send His own Son, Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish. You say, why would we perish? Well, because our sin had wages for it. The Bible says we are born in sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short. That sin is sending us to hell. But Jesus, in His love and mercy, before you were even born, over 2,000 years ago, He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross. But God commendeth, God gave His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He did that for you, and He did that for me. Whether you want to accept it or not, He did it for you. He loved you. And because He loved you so much, He wanted to be the propitiation for you. He wanted you to be able to call Him Abba Father. He wanted you to be a part of His family. He loved you so much, He was willing to go to the cross to die for you and me. My dear friend, this morning, do you know Christ is your Savior? Why did Samuel have a love for God? Because he was so grateful for what Jesus Christ had did for him. Do you know Christ today? Do you believe that? Will you receive Him in your life? Years ago, Moody told a story of a girl in Chicago. She could barely buy a dollar's worth of anything at the store. And then one day, she was able to buy $1,000 worth of stuff at the store. And someone asked D.L. Moody, what was the difference? D.L. Moody said, well, she married a rich husband. She had accepted him, and of course, all he had became hers. May I say today, if you accept Christ as your Savior, all that He has becomes yours when you receive Him. I want to encourage us today to have a love for God. But then last of all, we see the longevity of Samuel. The Bible says, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. Now, we'll see this next week, but eventually the lineage of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas will come to an end. And Samuel's generation will go on and on and on. May I say, when we have a loyalty to God, when we have a love for God, it will turn into a longevity for God. And God will bless us for that. We will too be blessed for our loyalty and love for God. In James 1:12 it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Revelation 2:10, will the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Is that what we want? We want to go to heaven so we can wear a crown one day? We've arrived? No. It's so we can take that crown and cast it at Jesus' feet. Because we want Him, we love Him so much. And we want Him to know that we loved Him so much that here's the crown, you can have it, God. All I really want is not a crown. I just want you to know that I love you. And I hope you're proud of me. May I encourage you today, like Hannah, and maybe like that peasant in the story, are you willing to sacrifice or struggle with the boulder or the battle or the burden in your life that God has you going through? Why? Because God is in control and God has something there for you through it. A rich man was in the habit of giving his wife an expensive piece of jewelry every year on her birthday. One year he might phone this particular jeweler and won the finest pearl or maybe the emerald bracelet or maybe the finest diamond pendant he had or maybe a ruby ring. And every time he would say, send me the ring or send me the piece of jewelry and the bill. Well, he would do that. And then the rich man would play a game with the jeweler. He would send the messenger back to the jeweler along with the original box, a note, and a check. The check was always written in the amount of several thousand dollars less than what the jeweler had wanted to sell it for. And because of the and then the rich man would say, "Return. I like the jewelry piece, but I do not like the price. If you will accept the enclosed check for a reduced amount, then please return the jewelry box with the seal unbroken."
And every year he would do this. And the jeweler really needed the money, so he kept this thing going. And finally, one day, he had had it. The rich man asked for the finest diamond necklace he had. And the jeweler says, I'm not going to be clipped again. I'm not going to give in this time. And so, the jeweler sent the necklace in a box along with his bill. And again, as usual, the box was returned with a reduced check for payment and a note. So this time, instead of accepting the check for several thousand dollars left, he rejected the check, he tore it up, and he opened the box, the sealed box, for the first time. And inside that box was a check for the entire amount of the jeweler's bill. For years, the rich man had been sending the entire asking price for each jewelry piece, hidden inside the sealed jewelry box. And all that time, the jeweler had accepted thousands of dollars less than he could have received because he didn't open the box and look inside. And the moral of the story is that the hidden riches of Christ are available to you and me, are they not? But to find them, we have to open His Word. By the way, if you look especially in Ephesians, you'll see the descriptions of the riches that we have in Christ. But yet, how oftentimes we are drawn and we pursue the riches this world has to offer, when inside God's Word and inside the boulder maybe He has in our life, the burden, the thing He's doing in us, the work He's doing, is the greatest hidden riches that you and I could ever receive. So what about you this morning? Will you too rejoice like Hannah and the burden, the boulder, the issues in your life? Will you, like Hannah, enjoy and experience the findings of her purpose, her pledge? And will you, like Hannah, be able to reap the benefit of the fruit of her parenting? May I encourage you to trust God for the blessing and just do what He has for you to do on a daily basis. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe this morning you would say, Pastor Justin, that's me. You talk about what Jesus Christ did on the cross, His love for us, and why Samuel loved God and what Jesus did for me, I had no idea. But I'll be honest with you, Pastor Justin. I'll be honest with you. I need Jesus in my life. I realize that the penalty of my sin is death and hell, and I don't want to go there. I need Jesus. Pastor Justin, with heads bowed and eyes closed, how many say, that's me. I need Jesus Christ in my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe that's you. Say, Pastor Justin, will you pray for me? If you'll slip up your hand at this time, I want to pray for you. Say, Pastor Justin, I need to know for sure I'm going to heaven. Will you pray for me? Anybody this morning that needs Jesus in their life? Say, Pastor Justin, I know for sure I'm going to heaven, but I'll be honest with you. I like Hannah, have struggled with what God's asked me to do. Or I have this burden in my life. I have this boulder, like that peasant. I have this battle I'm facing and I don't understand it. But this morning I realized that I need to give it to God. I just need to trust Him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many say, Pastor Justin, will you pray for me? If that's you, will you slip up your hand? God bless you. I see those hands all over. How many say, Pastor Justin, I know that I'm saved and I know that I need to give some things to God, but I'll be honest with you. Will you pray that I'll praise God, even in difficult times. And I'll put the effort and the work in the parenting or whatever it is God has. And then I'll just trust God that the blessing will come when it does. But until then, I'll just enjoy my time with God. If that's you, you slip up your hand. Lord, you see the hands, you know the hearts. Well, I've sought to pour out my heart today. I know this is a chapter that's kind of broken up in different contrasts and different things. But I wanted us to see a woman who was willing to give back to God what she had promised. And because of that, she was able to praise. She was able to find the blessings for her obedience. And she was able to see the fruit of the parenting she put into place. The fruit of the effort she put in. And you blessed her in so many different ways. Lord, even though the boulder, even though the battle, even though the burden, Lord, and there's so many different things that we go through. Maybe hard, maybe challenging, maybe frustrating. may we just keep doing our part and realize that through it is the blessings that you have for us. And Lord, it's in your word. It's been spending time with you. It's in following your will, doing your way. And that's when we experience the most wonderful blessings of all. We sure do love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could stand to your feet this morning, the piano is going to play. I want to encourage you today, if you do not know Christ, would you come forward? We'd love to pray with you. If you know Christ, but maybe you're just struggling with your burden, your battle, the boulder, whatever it is, we'd love to pray with you. Maybe you'd like to come and give it to God. Maybe you'd like to follow the Lord in baptism. Baptism is an outward expression of our inward decision. It's simply following the Lord. Maybe you'd like to join the church today. We'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe you just say, Pastor Justin, I'm just overwhelmed. I just got a burden. It's just pushing me down. We'd love to pray with you about that. Maybe there's someone near you that's heavy on your heart, or maybe you feel like you're where you need to be. May I encourage you to pray for someone else near you, that God would help them as the piano plays this morning. May you do what God would have you do. God bless you. You may be seated. If I could just have 3 more minutes of your time. We have just a few things we want to explain to you on an upcoming event that you can be a part of, you can pray about, and you can see what God would have you do. And then we'll be dismissed this morning. I hope you know God loves you and this pastor loves you. And certainly enjoy and appreciate your faithfulness. Let's watch this video.
Thank you for joining us this morning. We hope this morning's service was a blessing to you. Join us tonight at 5 p.m. to hear another sermon from Pastor Justin. We are excited for Youth Explosion to start tomorrow night. It will continue each night at 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., Monday through Wednesday. As a result of this outreach last year, 99 teenagers accepted Christ as their Savior. Please join us in prayer that many more teenagers would be saved and that their lives would be changed for Christ. We are still in need of volunteers during this 3-day event. If you're interested in helping with registration, security, food prep, or cleanup, please sign up at the welcome desk. Or if you would like to help financially, please designate the amount for Youth Explosion. And as a reminder for our Wednesday evening service, our church family is welcome to sit in the balcony during Youth Explosion. Join us for a wonderful opportunity to help your child sing and develop their voices through our 2024 Children's Easter Choir. This is for children 5 years old through 6th grade. We'll be performing during the Only Jesus program on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 11 a.m. Bring your children to the service tonight at 5 for practice, and they will receive a practice schedule to take home.
Exciting plans are starting for the Easter dramatic musical Only Jesus on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 11 a.m. There will also be an egg hunt on property for all children and teens up through 12th grade. If you can help us by bringing individually wrapped candy, there's a bin on the welcome desk. Easter is a wonderful time to invite your friends, family, and coworkers to join us for our services. So mark your calendars as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior.
Churchwide Outreach will meet this Saturday, March 9th at 10:15 a.m. Join us for a delicious breakfast and an opportunity to share your faith in the community as we hand out Easter invitations. Don't forget, we spring forward 1 hour on Daylight Savings Time next Sunday, March 10th. If this is your first or second time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out the Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you, and you will receive a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
Okay, please know God loves you, and this pastor loves you. Guests, we'd love to get to know you if we can. We'll be in the back. You are dismissed.